You are listening to The Kevin Smith Show.
Comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people who make them and do not necessarily represent the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or any of its affiliates or advertisers. Hi, folks. Welcome to The Kevin Smith Show, whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this beautiful place we call Earth. Thanks for being here at The Kevin Smith Show. For those of you who are joining us for the very, very first time, welcome aboard. I'm glad you're here, and I hope you make a habit out of this. It is really an excellent habit to get into. If you just got to have a habit, you got to be addicted to something, this is a good one to get into. You need to know that we have a free weekly newsletter. The free weekly newsletter is called the K-Files e-zine. You can subscribe by getting over to kevinsmithshow.com. That's my website. Just go on over to the website, and you'll be able to subscribe in a matter of a few seconds. You can unsubscribe anytime you desire to do so. There are no strings attached. And we don't share our email list with anyone. We don't rent it out, lease it out, sell it, give it away. It's ours, all right? So you're not going to be spammed as a result of subscribing to our e-zine. Now, we've got a really kind of a freewheeling, interesting kind of a interview scheduled for this evening. Walter Bosley is going to be my guest. He's been with us before, and I am quite certain that you are familiar with him. I am also quite certain that you have noticed that has not been changed on the website. This, if you will remember, this week began with me disassembling the studio over the weekend, preparing to move to accept a new job, and then discovering that was a fraud. And the company that perpetrated that fraud, although I'm sure the job was still open, but they were fraudulent about the compensation package. And so this has been a week of catching up on a whole lot of stuff, putting the studio back together, getting more of it hooked back up. You may not realize it, but that first night, Monday night, we were operating on about half of the equipment that we use. And so anyway, we did not get the website updated today. And I am certain you'll overlook that and forgive that, because you're going to enjoy, I think, a great show. Walter Bosley is going to be talking with us about he's doing some investigation and research for a book, and ran across in that a pretty interesting link, and we'll get him to talk about that. We'll get him to tell you all about that. But it involves a really sinister individual that you are all familiar with, and I think it would make a great movie, actually. But we'll talk about that. Weird news, isn't it? You know, the guy on the bus in Canada that, for reasons unknown, jumped up, stabbed the guy in the seat in front of him, decapitated him. What do you think's up? You think the guy's insane? I mean, we're tempted to say in these cases, the guy had to be insane. Not always. What do you think's up with that? We're going to talk a little bit about the water on Mars and the whole NASA thing with that. We'll be back right after this. Most of the great music you hear right here on Steel Eye Media Network is supplied by the independent artists from GarageBand.com. If you hear a song you like, go over to GarageBand.com, look it up, download it. You can even buy the group's CDs, in many cases, right there at GarageBand.com.
Thousands of brave young men and women have returned from the war, many of whom have suffered devastating injuries and made a supreme sacrifice for our freedom. You can help these American heroes, and you really do hold the keys to change the future in your hands. Fans for Vet is a national organization that acquires new and used vehicles by donation, motorhomes, and sometimes even boats for placement with disabled and homeless veterans. We make necessary repairs to the vehicle, repair with handicap assistive hardware, driving controls, wheelchair ramps, and then we give these vehicles to the disabled veteran or the homeless veteran free of charge. You can change a life and show your appreciation by donating a vehicle that you no longer need to. VansForVets.org. Please contact us at www.VansForVets.org. Thank you and God bless America.
10, 9.
Alien Seeker News has blasted off and is providing a new and important resource for everyone interested in UFOs, aliens, alien abductions, Bigfoot, Chupacabra, and more. Featuring five of the top UFO radio talk shows, lots of information and articles in free forums, Alien Seeker News has launched on its journey to greatness. Go to AlienSeekerNews.com, register for the free forums, and get the classic Flying Saucers Are Real by Major Donald Kehoe as a free ebook. Join today.
Show unique in the galaxy.
And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. Yeah, let's get that switched over so the so you're in the studio again. There we go. We're back, and my guest this evening is Walter Bosley. He is a former specialist for the FBI. He's a former special agent for Air Force Office of Special Investigations. He is an author, he is a publisher, and he is a weird individual. Walter, welcome back.
Thanks for having me, Kevin. It's always good to be here.
Well, you know, I meant that as a compliment when I said he is a weird individual. Because people that are not just a little bit bent in their minds and have just a little bit different perspective of things don't write the great stuff you write.
Oh, well, thanks. I often call myself weird, just, you know, for truth and advertising, but I appreciate the compliment on the my literary attempt.
Walter, you know, the last time you were on, we talked about this book that you had written that had to do with the ley lines, and it has to do with
many carousels around the United States and perhaps around the world being built right on these ley lines, and the one at Disney, out at Disneyland, having been built right at the intersection of a couple of major ley lines. And we talked about the fact that the possible purpose of that, or the possible result of it anyway, would be that as the carousel spins over the intersection of these ley lines, it could possibly be accentuating or enhancing the opening of sort of a dimensional vortex. Now, do I have that right so far, or am I off base here?
Nope, that's what the evidence suggests.
Exactly. All right. Let's start there, and let's move forward into this very weird kind of thing that you have begun to write. And when I say weird kind, I mean this, folks. I got to say, Walter told me about this new book that he's researching. It would make a blockbuster movie. I mean, it really would just, I think it would take all the records. Walter, tell us about ley lines. Why are they important?
Well, they crisscross the globe. And again, just so we're clear again, we call them ley lines for simplicity's sake. Of course, we're not talking about the literal ley line that is just from one ancient monument or structure to another. We're, you know, in a straight line. We're talking about the land compression lines that they don't necessarily go straight. So yeah, these are energy lines that don't just crisscross the globe, they swirl about the globe. In my research for the Disneyland book, I learned that it's not like, you know, when you see images of globes or maps of the Earth and they have the longitude and latitude lines to where it looks kind of like a crisscrossing pattern. You got up and down and you got left to right, you know, vertical and horizontal. These things, the lines we're talking about are natural energy lines that cover the land masses of the Earth, and they follow geomorphology. They follow the folds of the land itself, and in many ways define the shape of the land itself. And the trained eye can see these things readily and pretty much identify where they're at. But because they are so prevalent, because they're across the land, we live on the land, and we are going to encounter daily the effects of any natural phenomena, even though it might in some cases seem supernatural, but it's very natural. The phenomena associated with these lines naturally touches our lives to some degree or another. In some cases, it manifests much stronger than in others, but the reason they're important is because the fact that they are there and what they can potentially do as much as what they have demonstrated for some people.
All right, well, let's talk about what potentially they can do. What can they do potentially?
On the light end of the spectrum, they can simply raise your personal awareness and consciousness of the fuller spectrum of physical reality. On the harder end of the spectrum, they can destroy the entire planet, depending upon how you apply your knowledge to them and what you know, technological applications you use, and to what end. They can destroy the planet. Tesla knew that, and he talked about that. In fact, in some of his inventions, the ones that could potentially rip the planet in half, these compression lines, these energy lines through the Earth were part and parcel of all of that.
All right. Now, in talking about them in that manner, you're talking about something that can be manipulated.
Mm-hmm.
How? How do you manipulate? Because you're talking about compression lines. You're talking about where tectonic plates or other types of geography are pushing against each other or pulling apart.
Yes.
And that's big stuff. I mean, that is really big. How do you manipulate something that big?
Well, for instance, in the case of Disneyland, what I've already written about, you can place a spinning object in the case of Disneyland at the carousel. Disneyland is not the only place where carousels have been placed on ley lines, as I've learned. Any spinning, rotating object placed upon one of these lines, particularly at the intersection of two or more of these lines, what it does is it accelerates. It taps into the energy running through these lines. It accelerates the effects and movement and coursing of that energy, if you will. But it also, by tapping into it, can divert it for other purposes. This is similar to what the Germans were doing with the legendary bell, the device called the bell, the spinning device. But when placing such a spinning device on these ley lines, you can use that energy for just about anything. If you have whatever machinery you have or device you have that will, if you want to power something, we could actually solve our energy problem, so-called energy problem, by using these. We could do it if we wanted to. The reason we don't want to, the reason it's not pushed, is because we have industries that are making, you know, billions upon billions of dollars with the status quo. And I'm not saying that, you know, to get a whole conversation started on what evil, rotten guys the oil companies are. I'm just stating a fact. If somebody's making billions of dollars, that's basically what we're going to use. So the minute they can figure out how to make billions of dollars off of putting spinning devices on these ley lines, you can bet your butt all our cars, all our houses, everything will be powered with little spinning devices, you know.
I can bet my butt, huh?
What's that?
I can bet my butt?
Yeah.
That's a substantial wager, my friend.
I'm telling you, as soon as they figure out how to make a profit on it, and, you know, that's the way of things. I'll tell you, I'd rather have the evils of our capitalistic free market thing than the evils of communism or socialism any day of the week, but enough politics. One thing you could do is, Joseph Farrell, you know, has pointed out in his writings, you could create some pretty nasty scalar weapons with these things, but you could, as I said before, you could use it, you know, for basic energy. You can use it, as we alluded to before, to, open up other, I like to call, further ends of the spectrum of reality, opening up other dimensions, or at least opening up our consciousness so that we can perceive them.
All right. I want to move from that forward in your investigation.
Yeah.
Before I do, I want to ask you, do ley lines exist on other planets, or do we know?
I don't know personally, but I'm going to say, of course, why not? We obviously have learned that water exists on other planets. How about that announcement about Mars yesterday, huh?
Yeah, I can't let that go. I have to put this comment in. They're finally getting around to saying, hey, guess what? What all of you already knew is the truth.
What they have known for decades. In fact, I'm gonna go balls out here. I'm telling you, I tend to lean towards the evidence. Between the evidence that's out there in the public and stuff I've been privy to, I'm telling you, they've known this for a century. But, you know, that's a subject for another show. But you're absolutely right. They're just telling us what they've already known. But it's just
I don't know if you get the K-Files e-zine, but if you do, Be sure you read the edition that came out today, because there is an article in there about that. And I go back to 1999, when the Hubble Space Telescope photographed a massive cyclone four times larger than the state of Texas on Mars. The eye of the cyclone was the size of the state of Texas.
Wow. Yeah.
And then I did a little research to write that article, and I went to NASA's own pages and found what they say, what their scientists say you've got to have in order to have a cyclone.
Mm-hmm.
And I listed that in the article. There are four ingredients, if you will, four factors, and each one of them, each one of those factors has a common denominator, and that is a very large amount of water.
Mm-hmm.
And so they've been saying, you know, that it's a dead, dry planet, but, you know, the Hubble Space Telescope shows us this huge cyclone, and you just don't get a cyclone out of a dry dust planet.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And it, you know, it, and what brings to mind, you know, talking about this is that I'm not surprised, I wouldn't be surprised with the research I've done and the things I've learned in the last year on this, if the lines, the energy coming out of these lines don't have a lot to do with our weather. And so, you know, the lines there on Mars probably have a lot to do with the weather there. But, you know, and then that goes back to, you know, what you asked about what can be done with these lines. Well, weather manipulation, you know. Certainly something we've mentioned here before, and that's earthquake warfare. Earthquakes as a weapon. You know, I don't know. I'm not the only one, but it still seems funny to me that over the last, I don't know how many years, I'm going to say at least 10, maybe 20, it seems kind of funny that, you know, politically, you know, certain countries start rattling their saber or popping off at the mouth at us, and we, you know, we throw insults back and forth, and then oddly enough, a lot of those countries will experience a devastating earthquake that kills a lot of people, and then seems like the political hoo-ha backs down a little bit. Most recently, it was, you know, we kind of have a, I don't know, I'd like to think we have kind of a stake in kind of watching out like a big brother for Tibet, for example. You know, and that Tibet-China thing was getting nasty there, and then, you know, boom, they got hit with something. And
are you saying that the technology exists to direct, to cause and to direct an earthquake in a particular location?
Absolutely, and that technology has existed ever since Nikola Tesla designed it and patented it 100 years ago or so. And, you know, he tested it out on various, you know, small-scale laboratory tests, but laboratory settings, you know. But, yeah, absolutely, the technology exists. And why not, you know? You know, if we're going to have other weapons, it doesn't surprise me, you know, that we would have that one. And we may not be the only ones who have it. But sure, yeah, it exists.
Now, are you basing that on purely on Nikola Tesla's work, or are you, do you know about actual developments in that area?
I'm basing it on primarily, you know, Nikola Tesla's known work, plus, you know, observing what I just said I've observed. I don't know any, I'm not aware of any, secretly, any kind of device or anything like that that is definitely an earthquake weapon.
But we do know that Nikola Tesla set off an earthquake in Manhattan.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he did.
And the police came to talk with him about that.
Yep. He scared the hell out of a lot of people. And and here's the thing. I base what I say on, you know, I think I know how the government, our government, you know, any government of a major power, develops their defense technology. And, you know, if Tesla demonstrated that, there's no way in hell in the intervening, you know, almost 100 years that somebody, you know, within the defense technology industry didn't try to develop it further. And I'm just saying, I wouldn't be surprised at all if, you know, they came up with an earthquake weapon, you know, and they're able to, you know, kind of make earthquakes hit in certain spots.
Well, see, that would be, I think, the trick. I'm not a scientist. I'm not, you know, I don't know how you could cause an earthquake, but that's not beyond my imagination to think that you could develop something that could cause an earthquake. Tesla did it. Others could. But to aim it, now that's the trick.
Well, not if, let's consider my basic premise of, you know, what I'm saying with the Disneyland book and what I've learned since then. And I'll give you what I believe is an example, a very basic example of how this could work. Now, let's, you know, given that what I'm saying about the lines is true and somewhat inaccurate enough to say it's basically true, then somebody obviously understands the line system, understands how it works and how to work it. They could develop it, a device, to the point where with the understanding, see, once you get the understanding of how the lines work, then it's not such a big mystery about how to make your device work. Because you understand those lines, then you understand how to design your device and you understand how to apply your device. So given that they understand these lines, let's say, you know, a device is created that sends a burst of energy coursing along one of these lines.
Walter, we have to take a break. We'll be back right after this, folks. Don't go away. All right, we are back, and my guest is Walter Bosley.
Walter, when we had to cut away for break, you were just beginning to say if you send energy coursing along one of these lines. But these lines have intersections at many points along the way, do they not?
Yes and no. There are vast areas that do not have these lines going through them. And there are not as many, there are several intersections, but there's not as many as you might think. There are lines that are bigger than others, more major, I guess you'd say, and the power through them, I guess you'd kind of call it a right of way almost. I don't yet understand them anywhere near completely. They've been identified to me where they are, and I've encountered, my personal experiences with them, and, have done academic research on others.
But you're not saying that you have knowledge that that's actually being done. You're just speculating that it's a possibility.
Yes and no. I have spoken with individuals like Joseph Farrell, and on the issue of, in his opinion, with the things he researches and does related to this subject. I've asked him in his opinion if it's if the possibility is realistic that a burst of energy could be sent down along one of these lines at a specific target, and he didn't hesitate. He said yes, that is possible. Certainly within, his theory and the data that he has researched and written about. I firmly believe, I think I might have mentioned it, talked about it on this show before, I'm not sure. I believe that my mom had a personal encounter with just that phenomenon in February of this year.
Yeah, tell us about that, and then I want us to move into the new research you're doing.
Okay. February of this year, my mom was returning from an appointment to her office where she works, and she was driving through San Bernardino on the 215 North, and there is a line that comes from, I don't think, I'm looking at the map here, I don't have the one map, but the line that's kind of in the system of the Disneyland lines, there's one that comes out of that area and goes right through San Bernardino and in an east-west direction. And she was driving north on the 215, and there were witnesses to this. All she remembers is suddenly the car had turned completely over and she was landing on all four wheels. And witnesses to the accident said there was no other car around her. They did not see her hit anything. They just suddenly saw the car flip into the air. It went airborne and did a spin, a somersault, from the left side, the fast lane side of the freeway, over to the slow lane side of the freeway. And where this occurred is right where the line passes right over the 215.
All right, now she's going down the highway.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, the car, based on your description, I'm assuming that the car flipped from the left side to the right side. In other words, the left side lifted off the ground first.
Yes.
The car does a 360 mm-hmm. and lands on all four wheels in the right lane.
Yeah. Amazing, ain't it? Even an ambulance was just shortly behind her and was immediately there on the scene. The whole thing was bizarre. Scared the hell out of her.
I guess so, yeah. I mean, you think you're driving a car and suddenly, you're a pilot.
Exactly. Well, particularly when I indicated this theory we're talking about, that scares the hell out of her. But, It was just...
Is she okay?
Oh, yeah. That's the amazing thing. I mean, she's, you know, at the time she was 73, she's 74 now. 73-year-old woman, you know, does a chitty-chitty-bang-bang in her car and basically walked away with a bruise on an elbow and a bruise on her head. And the doctors, get this, they put her through a battery of tests. They said that nothing to do with her medical or physical condition or age or anything had anything to do to cause this wreck. They found nothing neurological.
And there was nothing, the witnesses are there, and they see nothing in the roadway.
Right.
She doesn't swerve and hit the curb and cause the car to go airborne.
You know, according to, you know, she remembers driving up the highway, and then the next thing she remembers is the last part of the spin and landing on her wheels, and then, you know. What's weird is, what my physical location, if you were following the line that intersected with her car, and you continued on the line, my physical location at the time of the accident was further down that same line. Now.
Well, did you experience anything?
No. But she sure did, and you know, Sesheri and I have discussed this at length, and it's, you know, number one, was whatever sent down the line meant for me, and what an amazing synchronicity that the person that intercepts it is my mom. Now, the other option is it wasn't meant for me directly, but could have been meant as a message from somebody. Now, here's an interesting thing. Other highways, like the 15 North, which is a little further west, in this vicinity where this line goes through, I've noticed many times car accidents.
You know, what sort of a force are we talking about coming out of this line?
A blast of energy, concentrated energy.
So, I mean, like, what is it, electromagnetic, or is it electric, or...?
Electromagnetic, I would say, or maybe even just purely magnetic. Just a blast of magnetic energy, you know, anything with the force to just boom, to, you know, move, you know, something is... And she was in a small car, it was a Hyundai. She has a bigger car now.
Yeah, but, I mean, even a Hyundai, you're not going to walk out there and just pick it up yourself. I mean, that's a lot
right.
of energy to turn
exactly.
it over.
Yeah, and this sent her airborne. I mean, and the witnesses saw it. And, you know, that's one, that's a very strange thing, you know. That's just like anything else you'd read in the annals of high strangeness. And where it happened, she was crossing right through where that ley line, where that energy line cuts right through that area. And it gets your attention. Believe me, it got my attention, you know.
Well, I would assume that probably the state police came out to investigate the accident, right?
Mm-hmm.
What'd they have to say about it?
She was never cited for anything. There was never anything reported to her that, you know, she was at fault in any way. It was just, they came out basically to take an initial look, and she's okay, and the doctors said she's okay. It's a mystery.
Let me take a little side detour here for just a moment and just put a little note on what we're talking about. Folks, you've heard people ask me if I had ever, you've heard it on the show, if I've ever seen anything weird or paranormal. And the answer to that, and they're asking if I've seen anything weird or paranormal in relation to my work as a police officer in my former occupation. And I have always said, well, in relation to being a police officer, on my duties, I've never seen a UFO or an alien or come across any of that kind of information. However, I've seen a lot of really weird stuff. Now, this would be classified as really weird stuff. This is the kind of thing that you've heard me talk about, that cops see weird things all the time. And this fits exactly what I'm talking about. I never saw this happen, never worked a case like this, but this is what I'm talking about. Cops see weird stuff all the time, Walter, that they can't explain, and that's why they get to a point where they say, I don't believe, nor do I disbelieve. I'm just here to take the information and make a report. And if this is what the information is, then this is what the information is, and that's it. Things are going on around us all the time, if we'll just open our eyes to it, that are really weird, like this.
Yeah, and it, what I'm thinking as you're saying that is, you know, if people want to see weird things, know where these lines are, because, you know, I'm not the first guy to say that, you know, there's a lot of UFO activities, for example, connected to Earth energy lines. To me, it seems like they use it as a motive force, you know, for their craft. You know, they know, you know, they know to use these lines, you know, to energize their craft. Well, I would say you're raising your chances of seeing one if you know where these lines are. You know, and you keep your eye on those lines, even more so than the sky. Sure, they're going to be in the sky, but be looking up at the sky where these lines are. But that's not the only thing. You know, if you want to see, you know, whatever ghosts are, whatever Sasquatch is, you know, whatever any of these, a lot of these weird things are, you know,
think all of those are sort of affiliated with these ley lines?
Well, I remember that I made probably my first big leap in understanding strange phenomena, I think, back in the 80s, mid-late 80s, when I first learned about other researchers that had documented a correlation between UFO sightings, hauntings, and other strange phenomena seemed to be clumped in a lot of the same areas. And then when they got into this energy line, earth line research, ley line for simple terms, they were noticing, wow, these clumps of UFO and other strange phenomena seem to be occurring near or at the intersections of these lines. You know, so I've been aware of that concept for years, and I've seen nothing in my personal experiences or anything I've been told or anything I've researched since that goes against that. It continues to support it. For instance, I'm looking at a map, and one of these lines goes right through Roswell. And the line that goes right through Roswell comes right down straight from Colorado Springs, which, as we know, was became Nikola Tesla's laboratory area. So, you know, do the math.
Yeah, Colorado Springs was where he made the ground glow.
Mm-hmm.
It was glowing with energy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also where he burned up the electric utility.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you right now, Colorado Springs on my map is where, let me see, 1, 2, 3, 4, looks like 5 lines intersect.
Do you think that Tesla knew where those lines were and what they were?
Absolutely, I think that. I certainly believe that he knew it. He knew where they were. He knew what they were. He knew how to manipulate them. He knew what to do with them. And I certainly believe that ultimately the U.S. government, the defense industry, learned.
All right, we're into a break. And we'll be back right after this break. More with Walter Bosley and this weird, weird stuff that apparently is running around all around us.
Wants to go, settle night out in
Kevin Smith here. Do you have your Kevin Smith Show t-shirt yet? No? Well, let today be the day you step into the world of galactic fashion. Visit the Kevin Smith Show online store and get yours today.
It's called The Kevin Smith Show, and I am called The Kevin Smith. My guest is Walter Bosley,
and Walter, now I want to bring up Aleister Crowley, and there is a connection here, folks. During the same time that Nikola Tesla was alive and active, Aleister Crowley came to the United States. When he came, Aleister Crowley, by the way, in case somebody out there happens not to know who this incredible individual was, Aleister Crowley, during his lifetime, was called the wickedest man alive. He was rich. He was an occultist. He is the founder of modern Satanism. He was into all sorts of sexual magic. In fact, he invented all kinds of rituals and wrote books about them. And from 1914 until 1918, in that period of time, he worked for British intelligence and was residing in the United States of America. Now, it just so happens, Walter, you have discovered that he was out there in the area. He was out there in California.
Yeah.
In the area where some pretty weird stuff took place. I don't know how much of that you want to talk about. But I'll let you take the lead on that, and then I want to connect it up with what we're talking about with these ley lines and a possibility.
Okay. Well, I'll start by saying that it really, the pertinence to my research begins with the Lusitania. Richard Spence is an author who's written on Crowley before, and he's written a book called Agent 666 and the Sinking of the Lusitania, in which he explores the evidence that Aleister Crowley, as a British agent, was involved in making the sinking of the Lusitania happen by, you know, through political intrigue and pushing certain buttons and kind of putting the ship in the right place at the right time for that to happen to, you know, ostensibly, you know, just to bring America into the war openly. But knowing what we know about Aleister Crowley, I personally believe there had to be something more to it that
Do you think that Aleister Crowley had any instrumental part in the sinking of it? In other words, the making of explosives or anything like that?
No. The ship was sunk by, you know, the U-boat torpedo, as the historical account, you know, gives. The story goes the ship had munitions from American interests over to Britain to help them fight their war. There were, when you read Spence's book, you find there were British agents, there were German agents, there were American agents on board that ship constantly, but just about every crossing and at the time of the sinking. And Crowley was not aboard the ship at the time of the sinking. What Crowley was what we call an influence agent. It's hard to tell if he was a double or a triple, but he was definitely involved in my old specialty, and that's double agentry. And shortly after the sinking of the Lusitania, just a few months, some months or so, as we're getting into the fall, it was the fall of 1915. The Lusitania sunk on May 7th, 1915. In the fall of 1915, Crowley headed west. He wanted to go to the Pan-Pacific Exposition in 1915, held in San Francisco. And he traveled with a couple, the woman of which he was having an affair with. And she was his initial Scarlet Woman. She and he were involved sexually, and for him, you know, they did it in a way that served his magic. I think I've read in the various sources that she just kind of looked at it as a fling, but, you know, it was real serious to Aleister. Well, on their way out there to California, he was known to stop in Detroit, where 11 years later, Harry Houdini died, and I agree with the people who say he was murdered, so I'll say that, where Harry Houdini was murdered in Detroit 11 years later, and, you know, Crowley went through there. And what's important about this, significant about this, is wherever Crowley went, there were already people involved in, you know, his Order of the Golden Dawn lodges. So wherever he went, it was usually with the purpose to pay a visit to the various lodges or associates in magic. After that, he went to Chicago. And then he went to a city in Canada, which unfortunately I don't have that note right in front of me, and I am in the middle of researching if the city he went to in Canada was along, you know, one of these ley lines. And then he headed down to San Francisco.
Is there a ley line that runs through Detroit?
And I will give you that answer. Let's see. Yes, there is. In fact, in that Great Lake region, there is a major the set of lines, and yes, indeedy, one of the major ones goes right through Detroit, and also a line goes right through Chicago, and of course we have one, two that go right through San Francisco. Looks like three, I'm sorry, through the San Francisco area. So as you can see, everywhere he went, there were, you know, he went to these cities where there are ley lines, and I'm in fact, probably after the next break or two, I will have the answer on the city he went to in Canada. But he came down to San Francisco, and by this time it was, I believe, late October or early mid-November. And something happened in San Francisco where he felt compelled to get the hell out of Dodge. And he headed down to Santa Cruz and then continued on down to Los Angeles. And while he was in Los Angeles, it is known from his own diaries and in personal accounts, people know him, he was unaccounted for about a week. And then after that, turned up on his way to San Diego to spend some time there and continue on with his tour. And during this time, he talked later about establishing one of his solar lodges and not much else. And what's interesting is there is a so-called solar lodge associated with the San Bernardino area. And, you know, but between the time he was there in 1915 and you know, in the 60s and 70s when it made news, you know, you don't know what the connection was anymore, because, of course, he died in 1947. But he was moving through areas of the United States and California where there were ley line systems, very specifically, you know, some pretty powerful ones. It coincides with some other things I have uncovered in my research, which I don't want to get into right now, but basically he was in the area at the time and during those few days, that period of a week where he disappeared, I believe a ritualistic murder occurred. Let me rephrase this. I have investigated a death, which I believe to have been a ritualistic murder, which was called a suicide.
Now, let me jump in here because we've just a minute or so, we've got a break coming up, and I want to throw this into the mix.
Mm-hmm.
Are you aware of the fact that children died around Aleister Crowley all of his life, including when he was a child?
No, but I'll tell you, among the deaths that I've been researching during this week that he disappeared, four children were poisoned and three of them died from it, poisoned by mysterious means. In a couple of cases, they know it was a stranger that gave the child something to eat, candy in one case and an orange in the other case.
When he was a child, his parents, by the way, were very, they were religiously part of a group called the Brethren, but they were part of a sort of a real fundamentalist radical wing of that denomination. Mm-hmm. His dad owned a beer brewery, or owned stock in it, and made enough money to have retired by the time Aleister was born.
Mm-hmm.
Then there was Aleister, and then there was a younger sister. And the sister suddenly and weirdly died, just died.
Mm-hmm.
What I thought was really interesting was his father took him to the funeral home, and when Aleister wrote about it, he wrote about it in the third person and talked about how totally useless it was to be there. And he says, the child was dead. There was nothing I could do about it. Why waste my time?
Mm-hmm.
That was his attitude about his own sister.
Yeah.
And when we come back from this break, I'm going to tell you about his first daughter, who died at the age of two. We'll be back
right after this, folks.
Most of the great music you hear right here on Steeleye Media Network
is supplied by the independent artists from GarageBand.com. If you hear a song you like, go over to GarageBand.com, look it up, download it. You can even buy the group's CDs, in many cases, right there at GarageBand.com.
Days before you came along, I'd be painting perfect pictures on my canvas of yesterday. Around I went looking through my windows out, nothing about you. My whole world narrowed to the size of a couple of pages in my book.
Get it all. Become a member at KevinSmithShow.com.
All right, we are back, and we will open the telephone lines in just a moment. The lines are already beginning to light up. We will answer those in just a moment. But first,
Walter, let me, well, now that's odd. Music has once again started. How weird.
Hey, I identified where he went to in Canada, by the way.
All right, do that. Tell us that. And then I want to read you the name of his daughter that died. It will surprise you.
Okay. Now, as you recall, he went from New York. First stop, major stop, was Detroit, where the land line goes right through there, one of these lines. Then Chicago, another line goes right through there. And then he had to go see, by the way, in Detroit he went to the Park Davis factory, which Park Davis is a pharmaceutical company. And at the time, they were doing things with various things like chemicals from peyote and stuff like that.
Oh yeah, he was a big drug user.
Yes, exactly. Well, where he went to in Canada was in Vancouver, and it's a place called Port Alberni. Now, Port Alberni is on the northeastern, the eastern coast, I guess you'd call it, of Vancouver Island, and just a few miles, if you take what looks like Highway 4, just a few miles over to the west coast, the entire west coast runs one of these lines, ley lines, just follows right along this western coast of Vancouver Island. So, once again, he went to a place which in this case was just, he didn't just go to Vancouver City, he specifically went to the island of Port Alberni, just a few miles over from there to a ley line, and then down to San Francisco, of course. So yes, all these stops along the ley lines.
Here's the name of his daughter.
Uh-huh.
Nicole Ma, that's M-A,
mm-hmm.
Ahathur Hecate, Sappho Jezebel Lilith Crowley.
Wow.
Any of those Egyptian names ring bells with you?
No. You said something that sounds like Mexican beer.
Hecate. Yeah. H-E-C-A-T-E.
So you said Hecate.
Well, not in my Texo-Serbo Thai Australian accent.
Okay. So Hecate.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? I'm sure we have Wiccans out there that know how to actually pronounce it. I probably have it wrong. You might have it right, but I've heard it. No, it is Hecate. Wow, he named his daughter Hecate and Lilith, and it. You know, I don't know if I ever told you.
And Jezebel. And she only lived for 2 years. And then she died after a family trip through China.
Of what?
Don't know. It just says
one of
she
those
died.
Childhood diseases, huh?
Yeah. But, you know, there were children that came up missing all around his castle in Italy. He advertised in the newspapers there for. Mm-hmm. People who were midgets or who were amputees to come be a part of his sexual magic spells, and then most of those people disappeared. And I really would be interested, and maybe sometime we'll have the opportunity to see if there are ley lines that run through where his castle was.
Sure, I'll tell you what, I can find that out. Not too difficult to find that out. I do want to say something about the name Lilith,
mm-hmm.
one of his daughter's names.
Mm-hmm.
Lilith was an entity who was most grimly known for being an entity who would steal and kill or steal and eat children,
mm-hmm.
mostly eat children. Okay, so there we have an entity that hated children that would kill them and consume them. Now, the word lullaby is direct reference, and the reason mothers sing lullabies to their children, it comes from over the door frame of the nurseries in ancient times, they would write the word Lilith Avi, meaning fly away Lilith, go away. And Lilith Avi
became lullaby.
Became lullaby,
mm-hmm.
and the singing of a song to a child in the nursery was part of keeping Lilith away. Because they were deathly afraid of an entity that apparently would come and steal children. Now, of course, some people say, well, that's what they were told, you know. But, you know, I'm one of those that says, gosh, there's a nugget of something there for every legend and myth.
There has to be. Let's go to the telephone line. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, hi, Kevin. This is Terry from Ohio.
Hi, Terry.
Hi. I got a question. I'm kind of confused because you guys was putting Nikola Tesla and Aleister Crowley together. Did you say Tesla had anything to do with Crowley, or was Crowley interested in Tesla?
I think neither.
Neither?
But both were interested in ley lines.
Yeah, that's what we were saying.
And about that, you talked about earthquakes and the possibility, you know, of us artificially doing that. was wondering what you think a HARP is for. I've seen a lot of things where it's very possible that that thing can with a million watts, can easily do that. And I've seen pictures from China prior to the earthquake, and they were showing like rainbow-colored clouds and stuff over the area prior to the earthquake. And I've also heard that China believes that we did it.
Well, look, all I can tell you is what I have heard here on this show. Now, we had Dr. Joseph Resnick and Guy Kramer both intimately involved in the development of HARP. And we had them on at the same time, and I asked the question, can HARP be weaponized? And their answer was that anything can be weaponized, absolutely anything. But they also said something that made a lot of sense. They said, you crank HARP up, and there are monitoring stations all over the earth tuned in to its frequencies. And there's no way you could do any of that without the whole world knowing you were doing it, because they're monitoring the frequencies.
Yeah, I hear there's more than just one. There's several others in other countries too.
Yeah. Well, as a matter of fact, Russia, I think, has four of them.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So, on the one hand, could it be HARP-type technology? Well, sure. Apparently, several countries have it. So somebody may have set off an earthquake over in China. Was it us? Well, I watch the Internet pretty closely, and I read every time HARP fires up, there are websites that go online and show you graphs and tracings and tell you what frequency it's on, what time it came on, how strong is it. And I think they would have been all over that if it had been HARP.
I haven't caught that site.
There's several of them.
Yeah. I've also heard that that scalar weapons possibly had something to do with Chernobyl, that they fired at us, and supposedly a friendly country to us that has it looped it back onto them, which was at Chernobyl, and which caused that accident. And I also heard that we actually went in and bombed it. I don't know. Just a couple things I heard on the Internet.
Yeah, we didn't bomb it. And that also would have been all over the world press.
Yeah, I would think so.
Yeah, and let me give you one example. Let me give you a real good example of how that works. We do have, without a doubt, the most advanced weapon systems on this planet. One of the most advanced weapon systems on this planet is the Apache helicopter. And when NATO was going to bomb Yugoslavia, there was a group of Apache helicopters that were sent to Albania, mm-hmm. which is right on the border. And the entire world press focused on those Apaches and kept running reports speculating about when were the Apaches going to be used. As soon as the Apache helicopters arrived, the world press descended on Albania. So anything we do like that, if we were to bomb something or even get an aircraft close enough to think about it, the world press is on it. And the deal about bombing, I don't think there is a snowball's chance in hell that we had anything to do with that. Now, as far as a scalar weapon and someone bending the beam back on Chernobyl, man, your guess is as good as mine. I really don't know enough about scalar weapons to know if that's even possible.
Yeah, just one thing I heard on the Internet, so I just thought I'd throw it in there.
Yeah. But really now, the thing about the story about us bombing something, if we do it, the world knows it. And they, believe me, they report it.
Yeah. they're out, on it. Would be pretty much impossible. I didn't really buy into that, but I just know I just heard that recently for somebody that was one of the possibilities. I don't know why they brought
it up. Here's another example. Do you remember during that campaign when NATO was bombing Yugoslavia, do you remember that the Chinese embassy in Belgrade, Yugoslavia got bombed?
Yes, I do. Yep. They were pretty upset about that.
Before the thunder had even cleared out of the sky, it was on the press. It was all over the media.
Yep, sure was.
Yeah. All right, man, thanks for the call.
Thank you, Kevin.
All right. Telephone number is 1-623-581-5148. And guess what? If you forget that number, it is on my website. Just go to my website, scroll down, and you will see the number, 1-623-581-5148. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Oh, that was quick. This is Larry in California. Yep, done.
Doing great, Larry. How are you?
I'm doing all right. For your guest, I'm just curious, how do you go about finding ley lines, and or is there a map of ley lines somewhere that can be seen?
That one's for me?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, there are some researchers that have done various maps of them, and you can find them, usually in your, the bookstores or online. Excuse me. The maps I use were prepared for me personally by Sesha Ree, who's done a lot of geomorphology in his work, he's done a map of, local regions for me, specifically certain cities, and also one of North America going down into Mexico and up into Canada. And that's the one I'm looking at right now. And these are done by hand by him. And he follows geomorphology. He understands that. He can read the land. And what he'll use is a topographical map. The map I have is not a topo map. It is one of those standard maps with all the highways on it, and the states are in different colors. But what he does is he's got it on a topo map, and then it's painstaking. I mean, this thing's big, and he takes a lot of time to transfer that information onto the map that, he sent me. And it has things on there that I've not seen on any other ley line map, so to speak. It's pretty amazing. And what's really astonishing is, just about any strange phenomena or whatever, as I said before, that you can think of in a place, I'll go to this map and I'll be damned if, about 90% of the time or more, either a ley line
in California,
or more than one ley line, or an intersection of ley lines right there.
What did you say, Larry?
I'd sure like to get one for out here in California, out in the desert.
Whereabouts in the desert are you?
Excuse me?
Whereabouts in the desert are you?
China Lake.
Oh, beautiful. Up there in Death Valley. Well, I'll tell you right now, there's a line that goes up out of north, out of the Barstow area, and it goes right to the southern end of Death Valley National Park, and it splits just south of, my map doesn't, about where Panamint is where it splits, and then you got two of them. One continues on, curves around to the west and back south, and the other one goes on north up through, right through Death Valley proper, and right up through Scotty's Castle.
Been there.
Yeah.
You guys correlated any of these ley lines with military bases?
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, you've got, of course, the China Lake base out there, the Navy facility, which I believe, by the way, a lot of the a lot of interesting places, like in my Hollow Earth research that was found and written about, is now on the military side of the fence. Go figure that. Yeah, there are military bases. That's the other thing Seshery has pointed out in his research, in the long-awaited handprint of Atlas that's going to be coming out soon. It's been delayed a couple of times, because he's fine-tuning the information. He wants it to be right. But military installations, airports, railroad lines follow these. The railroad tracks follow the run of these lines. It's amazing when you see it on a map. But military bases, airports, hospitals, all sorts of interesting things. So this is an open secret, he believes, we believe, among, you know, a certain level of civil engineers and other types of engineers. But here's an interesting thing on the military bases. On the map he prepared for me of the United States, the lines that go through Nevada, there is a vast gap between the two major lines that curve through Nevada. And in that vast gap, he has no lines. There are no lines, according to his research, that go through there. And that is where things like Area 51 and these big secret test bases are. Now, why is that significant? Well, you know, maybe they put that particular base and facility there to make it even harder to monitor or spy on, because maybe there's a way, if you know where these lines are, to kind of know what's going on in a place or strike a place, as we've discussed before. But it is interesting that the Area 51 area is in a big gap between lines.
So where Area 51 is, you're saying there is a void of these lines?
A line runs actually northwest to southeast. It runs right through, let's see, it comes out of Reno. It goes through the map is marked. It goes down past Walker Lake and Hawthorne, continues on south, west of the 95. It goes through Beatty, and then continues on to Las Vegas.
All right, but you're saying where Area 51 is.
Yeah, Tonopah Range and all that is.
There are no ley lines in there.
There are no ley lines going through there.
Wow.
All right.
Yeah. Larry, thanks for the call, man.
All right. Bye.
Bye. By the way, Larry is the webmaster and the owner of AlienDeceptions.com. You want to go over there and take a look at his website. It is fascinating. The telephone number is 1-623-581-5148. Again, 623-581-5148. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hey, Kevin. This is Mike Mott again. How are you doing?
Outstanding.
Good. So
thanks for asking.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, Mike.
Glad to hear things are going better for you. Definitely. And just wanted to call and just let you know that I'm enjoying this. And Walter's got so much going on that, you know, he's got so many projects on the fire at any given time. And I know you guys have talked about a lot of ley lines and things of this nature, geomancy and so forth. But, I mean, this guy's got so many things going on that you might want to ask him about some of his fiction endeavors. He's got all kinds of fiction projects in the works and nonfiction projects and, you know, I just think that people just need to know about what he's up to.
Yeah, Wayne, do you think he is up to so much stuff that he's like a threat to the country or something?
I don't know, man. I haven't heard anything in the conspiracy circles about that yet.
Someone listening to this show who has just heard me say that, I am quite certain will start the rumor.
Oh God, yeah. Won't that be fun?
You know, we used to have a sign on the wall in one of the United Nations missions that I worked in that said, have you heard today's latest rumor? If not, start one.
Well, you know, I mean, if you talk about any particular topic at any given time, there's always somebody out there that's going to come up with something. You know, you're a shape-shifting reptilian or, you know.
Oh, well, I am.
Whatever, you know.
I am. I'm a direct descendant of the serpent. They talked to Adam and Eve.
Are you?
I've been told so.
Well, that's what Genesis says, right?
Well, and I also have been told I'm the spawn of Satan, so.
I thought that was Aleister Crowley.
Well, Michael, thank you so much for the call, man.
All right, you guys take care.
All right.
Bye-bye. All right, you too, bye. Mike.
Yeah, William Michael Mott. Yeah, I've been called just about everything that you can think of. And as a matter of fact, there is an image that I use. And for those of you who are watching the show, it's coming up on your screen. Now, that image is in response to an email that I got inviting me most vociferously to go to hell. And so I had a picture of me transformed in Photoshop so that there are flames coming up around me. But that's in response to that. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling? Hello, caller.
Yeah, Kevin?
Yes.
Yeah, it's Terry from Ohio again. I'm sorry, I had you on mute. For your guest, I wanted to say that I live in Ohio at Stephen. We're like 50 miles north of Toledo. I was wondering if you could tell me about ley lines in Ohio.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, and I do want to throw this in there too. In my research, I was astonished to find out how many times I have personally lived on ley lines, and that's another part of the research that I'm doing. My life seems to go from one of these lines to the next, and I was assigned, as I've mentioned on this show before, Wright-Patterson Air Force Base for a while, and a line goes right through Dayton, pretty much right through Fairborn, where I lived. Now, you're over in, you said you're 50 miles north of Toledo?
Yeah. Guys, I hate to do it. If you will, hang on. We'll come back to that right after this break. But we got to step out of here for a moment and let the good times roll. And we will be back more with my guest, Walter Bosley, and the answer about the ley lines in Ohio. We'll be back.
I'm
It's called The Kevin Smith Show. I'm your host, Kevin Smith. My guest this evening
is Walter Bosley. And let me see if Terry from Ohio is still with us. Are you still with us, Terry?
Yes, sir.
All right. Walter, I had to interrupt you. I'm sorry about that, but you were telling us about the ley lines in Ohio.
Yeah, well, what we've got in Ohio is one that goes in an east-west kind of arc through southern Ohio, right through Cincinnati and on over through West Virginia, which incidentally is the line in Parkersburg, West Virginia, that I've lived on and where the Mothman phenomena occurred. Mm-hmm. Then you've got the one north of that running east-west, curving. That, again, goes through Dayton and Fairborn, where I lived when I was at Wright-Patterson. And then you got a big old gap all the way up to, gosh, Toledo. And yes, indeedy, there's a line that runs. It comes down out of Kalamazoo in a southeasterly direction and goes right through Toledo. And then the next one you have up above that is the one that goes through Detroit. Now, where exactly are you?
We're from Wright-Patterson. We're east, probably maybe 100 miles east of Wright-Patterson. In Seneca County. I don't know if you know that better.
Okay. Weren't you... Okay, you said something about 50 miles out of Toledo.
Yeah, we're north of Toledo.
You're north of Toledo.
Yeah, about... say 100 miles north of Columbus.
Oh, north of Columbus.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Well... Yeah, you're near the Toledo line now, and that's not to say that, you know, this stuff it doesn't run specifically, you know, just only right on the line of a certain little width. You're certain to get some overflow, so to speak. But I find it interesting that the callers that have called in and asked if they're on the line are either on one or pretty darn close, but...
Yeah. Now, Terry, have you noticed any sort of weird stuff happening in your area? Maybe happening to you or people that you know?
No, not in our area. We were, you know, it's pretty laid back, pretty comfortable living as far as crime and everything, and anything weird, it's.
Oh, and if you don't have enough crime, I'm sure that Phoenix would be glad to export some. We've got we've got an excess out here.
Tipton's pretty good town to raise family. It's older and got a couple colleges here, and it's a nice community.
All right, Jerry, thanks for the call.
Thank you, Kevin.
All right. The telephone number is on your screen if you're watching. If you're not watching, if you're listening via radio, and by the way... we appreciate all of our radio affiliates and would love to have some more. So if you're a program director or station manager, you want your audience back at nighttime, you need to put us on, all right? That'll bring your audience back. But if you're listening via radio or on the Internet, the telephone number is 1-623-581-5148. And caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
This is Brent from Wyoming.
Hi, Brent.
Hey, Kevin. Walter, I'd just be kind of curious. Are there any in Wyoming?
Any in Wyoming?
Any ley lines?
Well, just know that they run through all the states, but, I mean, yeah, let's look specifically... whereabouts in Wyoming are you? Because I'm looking at 1, 2, 3, 4.
Intersection of I-90 and I-25.
You're what?
Intersection of I-90 and I-25.
Okay. What's the city?
Buffalo.
Buffalo, I see it right there.
It is right there.
The line comes out of... it's the one that goes through... Glacier National Park, way up in Montana,
mm-hmm.
passes right down through Montana and right into Wyoming at Sheridan, mm-hmm. and right on down to Buffalo. Goes right through, I'm looking at it like Buffalo here, and continues on south and leaves Wyoming just south of Cheyenne.
Interesting.
So, yeah, again, you're there, and I want to emphasize something, Kevin, that some people could say, well, you know, everybody who calls in, they're on a line. I want to go on the record right now saying, we're observing something kind of strange here, because I got this map. If you had the map I had, there's big chunks of areas, okay, with no ley line going through them. Mm-hmm. All right. And what's interesting is we're not getting a bunch of calls from people, say, in North Platte, Nebraska. We're not getting calls from, you know, people in, you know, Salina, Kansas. We're not getting calls from, you know, people in all these places where, say, like, you know, Columbus, Mississippi. You know, I'm just picking things off the map here.
So what do you think? You think that people are sort of innately conscious of the fact that they must be near one?
That, I believe, is part of it. Naturally, what's interesting is you do see population masses and flows on and near these ley lines, particularly the intersections, and people say, well, you know, there's other reasons for that. Well, to take it further, the reason there are those geographical reasons for populations to mass, like resources and pleasant areas as opposed to rugged mountain areas and things like that, is because of these ley lines, because of the effect of the energy going through these lines and the way they shape the land. These lines have everything to do with shaping the land, and therefore they have everything to do with the natural resources and settings that populations naturally tend to be drawn to. But another aspect of this is, yes, and this is where people like Aleister Crowley and C.V. Wood and Walt Disney and stuff come in with that aspect of these lines, is that people are drawn to the lines, but they're affected by the lines in other ways, and therefore they want to manipulate these energies in ways for their own personal agendas, be it good or bad.
I want to get to that, the manipulation of the energy in these lines. I want to get to that in just a moment. First, I want to ask you about the Phoenix area.
Oh, what would you like to know?
I'd like to know if you have a ley line that is running south of Phoenix and perhaps in an east-west orientation.
Give me 1 second to step over to my table, and I will get the Arizona map. I was given very specifically an Arizona map.
All right. Now, the reason I'm asking that question, ladies and gentlemen, is because that is where South Mountain is. I want to know about South Mountain.
I'm glad you asked that, because the biggest intersection, one of the biggest intersections in the United States is the major intersection of ley lines in Phoenix. And I'm looking at 1, 2, 3, 4, about 4 or 5 lines all coming to a big, strong intersection at Phoenix just now. Which direction? South, southwest?
Southeast.
Southeast. Okay.
Actually, anywhere from dead center, south central, to the east.
Okay. We've got a line that... Now, there's a line that starts going southwest, and then eventually it curves around to the southeast. That comes out of just... I've got something on my map here that says Guadalupe. The intersection is just north of where that is on the map. But the line that goes, the first line going southeast, heads slightly southeast out of Phoenix. It runs just east of, I'm looking at, is it a Gila River?
Yeah, it's pronounced Gila River.
Gila River, yeah, like Gila Monster. Dummy mm-hmm. me, I'm a Californian, I should know that.
You don't even worry about it. Doesn't it? It's, you know, they call it a river. There's nothing but dirt in it. It's just
okay,
a ditch.
Well, the line continues on. It runs just west of, is it Bopchule? Or Bonchule? Or
I'm not familiar with that one.
Okay. It goes through, I'm just, the words on this map is Maricopa.
Yep.
It's running west of Sacaton and Sun Lakes, and it runs east of Casa Grande. And then another line comes east out of Phoenix and runs slightly southeast, and it goes north of Chandler. It goes through Rittenhouse on south of Florence Junction into the White Canyon Wilderness.
All right. Well, and that would be the west end of the South Mountain Range.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where all that activity is. We have a caller, I think. Caller, are you still with me?
Sure am.
Outstanding. Your first name and where are you calling from?
Hi, Kevin. It's Deb from Columbus.
Hi, Deb.
Hi. I kind of tuned in the show a little late. I just wanted to know, I know Walter talked to a guy from Tiffin. That's sort of north-northwest of Columbus by about 70 miles, 75 miles. Anyway, I wanted to know if that ley line goes through Columbus or by Columbus?
Ley line goes through Columbus?
Ohio? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The line that goes through Dayton and heads through Zena and heads east goes through Circleville. It runs south of Columbus and then takes kind of a northern turn at Zanesville and continues on northeast from there into Youngstown. But it is close enough to Columbus that I certainly believe that you're close enough to the line and the line is close enough to you that you should, you know, if you pay attention, should be able to
you were talking about,
you know, raise your chances of...
Aleister Crowley, correct?
Yeah.
Pardon?
I've heard a lot about that dude, and he's like major numero uno bad guy to a lot of us that energy workers and things like that. Those of us
mm-hmm.
that work opposite of the negative side. Was he directly tapping into ley lines to gain his energy for a lot of the dark magic, black magic that he performed?
I honestly have not read anything in all the sources yet. Again, I am not the most well-read guy on Crowley, but I'm going to say based on what I'm researching and what I've discovered and the fact that now Crowley has turned up, I'm going to venture a guess. My belief right now, my intuition is absolutely, I do believe that this ritual murder that I believe I've uncovered, that I believe Crowley had a hand in, it was committed on one of these lines.
Hmm.
I don't want to say where.
Is he still living or has he passed on?
Crowley died in 1947.
Yeah. Oh, 47, okay.
Yeah,
because I do remember hearing about it. I really didn't read a whole lot about it, but yeah, he was considered very, very evil by a lot of people.
But
well,
as well.
That's the point I was going to make. And it seems odd that these things sort of seem to go together sometimes, but Crowley was verifiably, I think, a genius, absolutely a genius, but an evil genius. He had absolutely no heart for anyone except himself. Deb, thanks for the call.
Thanks.
Hey, Kevin?
Yeah.
I got my different scale Arizona map, and I got something here about Phoenix that you're going to want to know.
Tell me about it.
Okay. The lines in Phoenix, the major intersection of 5 lines, the intersection is smack dab at something called the Mystery Castle. And 1, 2, 3, 4 of these lines go right through South Mountain Park. You've got a line that goes through the northwestern boundary. You got one that goes from the northeast down through the southwest through kind of the western half of South Mountain Park. And then you've got two that are close to each other that run from the north through the southeast in the eastern half. But the big Phoenix intersection is smack dab at Mystery Castle.
All right, we're going to talk about Mystery Castle in just a moment. Folks, we have to take a break. We'll be back with Walter Bosley right after this.
Get it all. Become a member at KevinSmithShow.com.
got his magic. Somebody find my phone. You see, I don't remember nothing. I just found myself alone. Somebody needs to help me. Cause now I'm knocked out on a limb. Yeah, with nothing to protect me. Could have done more. My baby, and I'm lonely, alone. And I've been calling her all day, but she won't pick up the phone. And now you're telling me that I need to give you more. Hey, what you say? Just enough before. I don't remember.
Got iPod? Get K-Pods, the Kevin Smith Show podcast, and take Kevin with you everywhere. Subscribe today at kevinsmithshow.com.
All right, we are back, and we are talking with Walter
Bosley. And Walter, during the break, shared some information with me, additional information about the Phoenix area and the ley lines. I want to get to this call first, and then we'll come back to that. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. It's Paul from New York.
Hi, Paul.
Walter, can you tell me if there are any ley lines that run through Long Island, New York?
Another place I've lived, by the way. I used to live in fact, I've lived in Smithtown. I've lived over in Babylon.
That's where I live, Smithtown.
Where's that at?
I live in Northport, which is not too far.
Northport, yeah, I know where that's at. I'm sorry, I meant to say, what did you say? I said the wrong thing. I know where Northport is. I'm very, very familiar with it. Matter of fact, I've done some spooky things in the old Northport Cemetery there. Let's see.
All legal, well, I hope.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, nothing like Crowley would do. Okay, the ley line that runs through Manhattan. It comes up out of Philadelphia, runs northeast through Manhattan, and then continues on north into Connecticut. There is no line, at least on this map, you know, I've been given, of course, where that runs actually on or along the island. However, we know about Montauk, and we know that Crowley was very much interested in Montauk Point, as are other people interested in these very similar things, but there is no line. The closest one runs through Manhattan and then northeast into Connecticut.
Okay, how about Florida and the Bermuda Triangle? Is that part of any ley line?
The line, the map that I have does not show the lines extending into the Atlantic. The map doesn't go that far. So I don't have that as far as the Bermuda Triangle. But in Florida, what I'm looking at is a couple of lines that come down south out of Georgia. One enters Florida at Yulee and goes through Jacksonville, continuing on down west of Orlando, and it joins a line that comes out of Georgia west of Folkston and goes through west of Baldwin and goes through the Gainesville area, and they meet at just northwest of Kissimmee. And a third one from the west comes out of Thomasville, Georgia, which I believe is the furniture capital or something, right? It enters Florida at Monticello, and just north of Monticello, goes through Perry, Cross City, goes west of Williston and Ocala, and then joins the other two lines in Buena Vista. And then that one line that comes out of that winds around down to Lake Okeechobee and there is some line activity that comes out of the Gulf that goes through Miami, actually specifically Homestead, through the Keys and into Homestead. But that's Florida. Oh, and I'm sorry. One, two, three, four lines come up through the Gulf into Florida just southeast of Tallahassee. And then you got a couple that go through. Yeah, so we got several in Florida.
Oh, okay. Thanks a lot, Walter. I appreciate
it. All right. Thanks for the call.
I hope that was useful.
All right. Now, during the break, you and I were talking, and you told me about some ley lines, more specifically about South Mountain. Caller, if you will, just hold on a moment. I'll get right to you. But share that with us, Walter.
Oh, yes. I pulled out my other map, more of the Phoenix, southern Arizona area, specifically the Phoenix area, and that big intersection I was talking about of ley lines, looks like there's about five of them in Arizona. The major intersection in that state, that one that's a major intersectional lines in the southwest, is smack dab at Mystery Castle on the northern edge of South Mountain Park.
There you go. Now that, folks, is where Jeff Woolline, who you've heard on this show, that's where he has been and videotaped most of those anomalous things in the sky. That's where the petroglyphs are, and that's where the major ley line intersections are, and I didn't know that, and I'm sure Jeff didn't know that. Let's go to the telephone caller. You're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, this is Trey in Atlanta.
Yeah, Trey.
Yeah, I was going to ask a question, but y'all just answered it, and I was just at the website. Y'all said Homestead, Florida was one of them, and that's where Coral Castle is. I was going to ask you if anyone had checked out to see if any ley lines were around Coral Castle, and I went to the website, and it's down here, it says Homestead, Florida, South Dixie Highway, and you had just mentioned Homestead, Florida, so that's interesting.
Yeah.
But, that was all I had.
All right, thanks for the call.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that, because Secherie in the book The Handprint of Atlas, which we're hoping to get out here very soon and available, he goes into Edward Leeds Scanlon and Coral Castle and exactly how his research shows what Leeds Scanlon knew and what Leeds Scanlon did. And yes,
he definitely used his knowledge of the lines to build the Coral Castle.
Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, this is Jerry. I'm calling from the balcony here in Fountain Hills.
Hello, Jerry. You're on the air. How can we help you this evening?
Well, I tuned in a little late, so I didn't get all the details I should have, but I'll listen to the archives. Anyway, speaking about the ley lines, I'm wondering if your guest has any information about major crossings at one of two locations, whichever is the easiest, if either are. One would be the area around Lake Titicaca, and the other would be the area in southern Arizona, down near the Mexico border, if there's any major crossings there.
Were you able to hear that?
Not a bit.
Okay. What he wants to know is, do you have any information about ley lines in southern Arizona near the Mexican border, and also around Lake Titicaca in South America?
As far as South America goes, I'm sure they're there. SESH is preparing more extensive international maps for me at the moment, so I don't have a South America map right now. But as far as southern Arizona and the Mexican border, you've got a line that in western Arizona, you got a line that comes out of the Gila Mountains area and crosses the border where Highway 2 does a southward dip on the map, several miles east of San Luis, Colorado, and there's no cities listed there at all on this map. And then you go east several miles, and coming out of the Cabeza Prieta National Wildlife Refuge, out of
I think would be Cabeza Prieta.
Cabeza Prieta, okay. You've got a line going into Mexico, and then coming down through the Oregon Pipe Cactus National Monument, just west of Sonoita, you've got a line heading from the north to the south. And then continue on east, and there is a line at El Sasabi. And then...
Guys, I hate to do it. We are out of time. It's going to catch us in 2 seconds. There it is. Hey, thanks for the call, Jerry. And to Walter, let me say I thoroughly appreciate you being on the show this evening. It's been fascinating, and I hope you'll be back with us.
Oh, well, I appreciate you having me on, and definitely anytime, you know, I'd love to do it. Thanks.
All right, stay with me for a moment.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's a wrap, not only for this show, but for this week. And as always, it has been a wonderful and stellar experience. I thank you for joining me for each and every show, and I hope you'll do the same next week. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do, too. You can call me whatever you want. Just keep coming back again and again and again. And be sure you get our Super Pack number 1, because it's going away by Monday. All right, until then, so long, everybody.